Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Again, God often brings difficulty in our lives because He wants us to go through the wilderness. He wants us to walk through the valley, if you will. If you're on the mountaintop, you can see for miles and it's great and the air is clean and all of that stuff. And you see way off there's another mountaintop. But to get there, you got to go through the valley. The normal place is not on the mountaintop. The normal place is in the valley. And we must learn to suffer. We must understand, here's another thing that's not talked about much in the church today, it's brokenness. What I mentioned just a bit ago about saying, okay, Lord, I'm hungry, it's lunchtime, but I'll just wait for supper. My will, my desires, my craving for food, my normal idea that, hey, it's time for food, I had to surrender that. And that's brokenness. It's a willing surrender. You can be crushed and overwhelmed by circumstances, and that's not brokenness. But when you willingly say, okay, Lord, I'll go this way, then you've learned something, and that's brokenness. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, set on the great pot, and seethe pottage, or make stew, or something, for the sons of the prophets. Time to eat. Verse 39, and one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds in his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, they cried out and said, O men of God, there is death in the pot. Death in the pot. It tasted bitter, it made them sick, or something, I don't know. But they knew that if they had continued to eat that, something bad would have happened. I don't know if they would have died, but it was just something bad in that pot. Whatever kind of mushroom, or I don't know what the guy picked up. It says a gourd, something that he found out in the field and said, it looks good, shiny. Let me shred it up and put it in the pot and stir and let's eat. But it says, for they knew them not. Well, we got vegetables and we got turnips and we got carrots and we got potatoes and we got this little mushroom thing. I don't know what it is. Let's throw that in too. For they knew them not. And then they found that it was inedible. Would have made him sick, maybe even made him die. I don't know. But what does all that mean? The wild vine, I preached it before, and I said that it was human wisdom and our own old ways, our old customs, traditions, what have you. I heard another preacher said that it was false doctrine. But either way, it wasn't good. It wasn't edible. It wasn't like a regular potato or carrot or whatever they found. It was something else that they didn't know, it says, for they knew them not. In other words, it wasn't scriptural. It wasn't biblical. The answer was, the prophet said, take meal, which is a preparation of flour, and throw it in the pot. And they stirred it up and dished it out, and it was fine. The pot was healed, to take from another miracle. You've got something in the stew that it'll make you sick. But the prophet said, take some flour, throw it in, stir it up, and what do you know? It's fine. That's a miracle. But I said that this wild vine could mean false doctrine. And I said that whatever it was they put in the pot wasn't biblical, wasn't scriptural. And you may have said, well, I don't understand exactly what you're saying. The meal, the flour, symbolized the Word of God. It symbolized the Word of God. And this pot, which was somehow contaminated, the prophet took a handful of flour, which symbolized the Word of God, threw it in, stirred it up, and what do you know, the pot was cleansed of whatever agent or whatever that was that was making them sick. The Word of God healed the pot. Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How do we know what to do? Well, we ought to go to the Word of God. We ought to go to the Word of God. 2 Kings, we're going to get there eventually. Chapter 22, verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found a book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Verse 11, and it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. In Jewish custom, if someone dies, the first thing you do in mourning is you rip your shirt. It also speaks of repentance. The king heard the word of God, and he was smitten in his heart, and he tore his clothes. And Lord, there's something wrong with me. You know, your word shows something wrong in my heart, and I'm ashamed of it, I'm convicted, and he rent his clothes. Another symbol that you'll find having to do with repentance is that they will sit on the ground and they will take dirt or dust from the ground and put it on their head. Or sometimes they'll take ashes from the cooking fire or something and put it on their head to show that, woe is me, Lord, I'm undone. Lord, there's something in me that's evil. I know it. My sinful ways, my sinful nature, but up against your holiness, which you've just revealed to me, I'm ashamed of myself. Again, Gilgal has to do with sanctification. Now we have positional sanctification. We're in Christ. If you're in Christ, then that's it. If you get hit by that bus I mentioned a bit ago, you're on your way to heaven. Next thing you know, you'll be in the presence of God. But then we have to walk out. We have to learn what the Word of God says. We have to walk out our salvation. We have to learn the Word of God, learn the things of God, learn how God wants things to be done. That's progressive sanctification. Somebody also said there's practical sanctification. Yeah, you've been sitting in church for 20 years. What has it done for you? What's its practical use in your life? So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them unto the least of them. For the word of God came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. When Jonah finally got over there. And I said, or second time I'll reference it, I said that this wild gourd wasn't scriptural, wasn't biblical. I said that the meal thrown in was a symbol of the Word of God. John chapter 6, verse 33. A little bit earlier he said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He talked about manna from heaven that the Jews ate. He said, I am that manna. I am the bread of life come from heaven. In verse 33 again, John chapter 6, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world." Then they said unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Your old ways, your old wisdom, your old culture and traditions, how mama always did it and how daddy told you you ought to do it. Well, in a number of things on this earth, our parents have wisdom. Some of the things in our culture, your culture, my culture, the culture maybe in Arkansas, or you see every little town has its own little culture. Obviously, the South has its larger understanding of how things should be done. If you go to Alabama, they'll do it one way. You go to Mississippi, a little bit different. You go come down to South Louisiana, it's still the South, but it's yet a little different. You go to Texas, well, everything's bigger in Texas, I guess. But every culture, every little town has its culture, and a lot of that is good. But you see, we're looking for a kingdom. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. God has a culture. God has a way that things ought to be done. God has a way that they always did it in heaven. And it's not the way that we do it here. And our ways are faulty. Our ways are insufficient. Our ways lack. And our ways, many times, are wrong. And our sanctification. Again, we're in Christ, but then there's the progressive sanctification that happens at Gilgal. Verse 42, the fourth part of this chapter. "And there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn and the husks thereof. And he said, Give unto the people that they may eat." Now there was a lot of people. There was not enough bread. Man, this sounds familiar, doesn't it? "And his servitor said, What, should I set this for 400 men? And he said again, Give the people, or give unto the people, that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, They shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he did set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof, according to the word of the Lord." There's a lot in here. First fruits, you could preach an entire sermon on that. But it was a certain kind of offering. If you're a farmer and you plant beans or taters or whatever, the first one that comes up, the first little handful of beans or something that come up that are ripe, the first ones. Maybe the next day, 2 days later, everything else begins to come ripe, but the first one that you see. In the Old Testament, they were supposed to take that and bring that to the right place, I suppose, and to make an offering to God. The first fruits offering. But the first fruits offering, we know it as foreshadowing the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He is the firstborn of many brethren. And again, I mentioned, if you're going to follow the Lord, you have to take up your cross and follow after him. The cross is an instrument of death. We have to die to self to be born into the kingdom of God. And if you have a certain culture and a certain tradition and the way your mom and dad always did it, what uncle told you, yeah, but if you become a Christian, you're dead. Yeah, you can go to Romans and find you're dead to sin, but you're also dead to that old nature. And the old customs and traditions and the human wisdom and the common sense and all of that stuff, you're dead to it. And it's a hard thing to learn how to disregard everything you've been taught. But as we're born again, we need to learn God's ways. Well, we understand this passage here. just a few little loaves and, well, not 5,000, but 100 men. We understand that that foreshadows Jesus feeding the 5,000. And, of course, later the 4,000. If you read those passages carefully, and I may have gone over this here, if you read those passages carefully, there were two miracles. Jesus fed the 5,000, and then later on there was another group of 4,000. He performed the same miracle. I preached on that a long time ago. And it has to do, again, with sanctification. They saw this great miracle, and then they were constrained to get in the boat and go to the other side. And they were tripping over the 12 baskets full while they were trying to row their way out of that storm. They forgot the miracle. They forgot the 12 baskets full. And they were walking by sight and not by faith. But these 20 little loaves, 20, I don't know how big they were, first fruits, couldn't have been much. Maybe little cornbreads or something, I don't know. That's not enough to feed 100 men. And that's what the man said. You crazy again. That ain't going to feed them. But the prophet said, it's enough. Go feed them. And God multiplied the little bit that was there. Just as in the miracle where Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000. It doesn't look like enough. And in the natural, it wasn't enough. But God, in the spiritual, if you want to say, said and saw that it was enough. And they shall eat and leave thereof. Just like the miracle that Jesus performed. 5 loaves, 2 fish, but in the end there were 12 baskets full. They shall eat and shall leave thereof. The word of God is sufficient. I'm the bread of life. We understand that flour and meal and bread, that's the word of God from the previous little story. And the first fruits, they happen to be of bread, of meal. Little cakes, buns, whatever. He's still the bread of life. He can still feed. It says, what did I read just a bit ago? He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. They shall eat and leave thereof. Not only is it enough, it's more than enough. It's more than enough. If you have a problem in your life, I mentioned drug addiction and alcoholism. I could go through a whole list of things wrong that this or that family happens to find themselves stuck with, or the situations they find themselves in. This next chapter, chapter 5, I'm going to talk about psychology. But just to give you a little foretaste of what I'm going to say, a little foreshadowing, let's say, a little heads up, psychology is useless. Utterly, absolutely useless. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, it says, when evening was come, all the people came from round about in whatever town Jesus was in. They all came to him. And they had, some of them were blind, and some of them were limping, and some of them maybe had a cancer, and who knows, whatever kind of disease they had. But they came, and he healed everyone. He healed everyone. And verse 17, I believe, says that it fulfills what Isaiah said, that he bare our sicknesses. Isaiah chapter 53, you quoted it. Where's the boy? I don't know. But he quoted it. He quoted Isaiah chapter 53. Jesus quoted Isaiah chapter 53. By his stripes you were healed. It's sufficient. The word of God is sufficient. If it's a spiritual healing, if it's an emotional or psychological problem or physical, it doesn't matter. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Whatever problem you have, you should trust in the Lord. Psychology, and I'll go into it next week a bit more. Psychology is humanistic understandings, humanistic studies, humanistic methods. And to a man, the fathers of psychology, Freud, Maslow, Rogers, Hume, all of those guys, they were, don't know if they were deacons in the church, but as children, whatever kind of church they went to, but they were in church, they were Christianized. And to a man, Rogers, Maslow, all of those guys, Freud, walked away from God. Think of that. And they came up with this other method of treating the soul. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But the word of God is enough. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. The great Reformation, the Protestant Reformation. I think it would do us all a lot of good to read perhaps those articles on Wikipedia. Or maybe if you have some sort of other book that talks about Christian history. They had the five solas, sola meaning only. Sola scriptura, only the Bible. This is where we get our instructions. This is where we should get our doctrine. This is where our theology should come from. The things that we do in church, we should get them from the Bible and not psychology or who knows what. Sola fide, salvation by faith alone. Now, we're not here in this church. We're Arminian. We're not Calvinist. So some of these others have been redefined through the years. Sola gratia, in other words, by God's grace alone. Solo Christus, through Christ alone. And solo Dea gloria, we ought to give God alone the glory. The point, God's word is sufficient. God's solution is sufficient. God's remedy is sufficient. Don't care what your problem is. Jesus is the answer. Well, how do I make the elevator work? Well, maybe Jesus ain't the answer for that. You're supposed to laugh. But again, I said earlier that the Bible does not claim to be a textbook of science or medicine, but the problems of the heart. And that's the point. If you're sitting or laying on the psychologist's couch, you have a problem with your head or your heart. Well, the Word of God is the answer. The kids on drugs, the Word of God is the answer. Again, I know because I was delivered from drug addiction. They shall eat and leave thereof. They shall eat in this church, the little denomination we're part of. We believe in the finished work of Calvary. The finished work. Jesus said when he was on the cross, it is finished. He completely satisfied the righteous demands of God. It is finished. And shall leave thereof. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for your word. Please help us. Please help us to take the Word of God and apply it to our lives. And I know that you're able to lead us. Help us to trust you and look for your leading. And thank you, Father. And praise you, Father. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.